So the last couple of weeks, I've had this congestion in my ear, in my left ear. And so today, everything is really muted. I feel like I'm sitting here by myself and there's nobody in the room because I can't hear anything. So I'll try to speak loud enough because I think I'm speaking too loud because I can't hear myself. So Jeff's going to signal me if I'm not speaking loud enough this morning. Just part of living with the things that you have to live with. When I was in seminary at Earlham School of Religion at Richmond, Indiana, Vivian and I were out there. That's where we actually met back in 19, no, 2007. 2007. It's back when the earth was cooling. I was so blessed to take several classes in spirituality from Professor Stephanie Ford. And as part of her classes, she would ask students to incorporate spiritual practices as part of daily life as a way for each student to become more grounded in ways of nurturing their relationship with Jesus. You know, during Lent 12 years ago, one of the practices that I incorporated was to listen to John Michael Talbot's song, My God and My All, every day, at least once during Lent. And since that time, it's a practice that I have maintained. It has become a permanent fixture in my spiritual life. But more than that, it has become a source of great healing for me as I immerse myself in the words and the lyrics and the music. So whether I'm feeling down or full of gratitude, the music and the words and the voice of John Michael Talbot bring me to life. Holistic healing is taking place every time I listen and sing the words. It has gotten to the point where I can play the song in my head, and I hear every measure of music, every violin string, every lyric sung, and I don't even have to turn the music on. All 6 minutes of the song. Have you ever experienced that before? Where you could just play a 6-minute song in your head. And some of you might think I'm a little weird. Now you know why Pastor Vivian and I did, oops, I did it again. I couldn't get the song out of my head. So as we continue with our sermon series on experiencing Jesus at a deeper level, we will be talking about Jesus as healer today. As my opening prayer, just a part of that 6-minute song, My God and My All, will play just a few minutes. No worries. It will be coming through the loudspeakers. I don't expect to play it in my head and for everybody here to hear it and follow along. So it'll just be a few minutes. The words will scroll on the screens, and it's just about 2 minutes of the song, and this will be our opening prayer.
My God and my all, I should like to love you and give you my heart. My soul, and so I will yearn for you in the depths of your passion.
Amen. I also turned on our candle here. The candle always represented the presence of Christ, and that was one thing that I did when I was in seminary as I prayed. So how many of you have ever watched Miracle Healer Televangelists? Well, there was one particular person I was watching in the 80s. On one Sunday, as he threw a gentleman's walker off the stage, and he said, "Walk," the man proceeded to lose his balance and fall to the ground. This preacher proclaimed, "God don't heal drunks." That was the last time I ever watched anything like that on TV. I did not hear, see, or feel Jesus in that scene. It left a bad taste in my mouth about how people could get away with that kind of false teaching and fraud. I'm going to challenge us today. Take all the preconceived notions of faith healing out of your mind. Poof, it's gone. No, none of those false things that are out there. Let it go. Let's not even think about that. Let's open our minds for today, what healing can be for us today. You know, words for healing are used more than 200 times in the Bible, in the New Testament. And there are three key words that are used for healing. Now, the first word is called, it's sozo, sozo, S-O-Z-O. It's a Greek word that's used over 100 times in the New Testament. It means salvation, restoring spirit, body, and soul, healing the entire person. This can include physical healing, but sozo seldom speaks directly of physical healing. An example of where this is used in Luke 8:48, you know, regarding the woman who touches Jesus' garment. And Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Sozo, go in peace." Therapeu is another word for healing that means to serve, service, cure, heal, make well, to restore to health. The word therapeutic comes from this word, to cure through various ways. God provides gifts of healing. This could include a medical person of the time. This can include miraculous healings and casting out of demons, but it's not limited to just those. This primarily signifies the person as a therapon, an attendant, to care for the sick, to treat, to cure, and to heal. It's chiefly used in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. And again, in that same reference to that woman in Luke 8, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed, therapo, by anyone. So there's a third word, and that is eimo. Eimo means to cure, heal, make whole, free from error or sins, to bring about one's salvation, completeness, wholeness. Miracle healing is one way of EMO healing. In the book of Matthew, it is used to reference spiritual healing. So Luke 8, again, that same woman, when the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. Eimo. Eimo, immediately healed. These words appear in today's scripture reading in the passages just before and then the first passage in Luke that we read today. In Luke 5:15, "But now more than ever, the words about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured." Therapeu. Of their diseases. And then the very first verse that Andrea read today. One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Laimo. Healing. Laimo. Got it? Now, seemingly simple word can be complex. You know, healing is complex. But it is all of these things that I have been discussing. But within the complexity is a simplicity. Healing is about wholeness. Not just about one dimension, not just about one way or one method. It's about body, mind, and soul coming together. Integration. So think about integration, integrating everything about us. We should also keep in mind what healing actually looks like. We all have areas of our lives that need healing. For example, as we age, we all get sick. Something will ultimately bring us to our death. As we age, things don't quite work the way they used to. Healing doesn't necessarily mean that everything is in good working order as when we're a teenager. Healing could mean that everything is working the best that it can for where we are at that particular moment in our life. It is about being whole, the best that I can be for where I am right now. Everything is functioning in the best way that is possible. Body, mind, and soul. I have seen people who have been diagnosed with a malignant tumor have them disappear before any actual treatment ever begins. I have seen people with malignant tumors physically heal from treatment. And I have seen people with malignant tumors receive treatment and it not work and they die. I have seen people with malignant tumors that refused treatment and they die. But they come to terms with it and they heal right where they are holistically. The cancer still exists, but a sense of peace can be had and each day lived the best way possible. We live the best we can with where we are, with what we have. When my mother died from pulmonary hypertension last year, the funeral home provided a viewing. And this really is the case that showed that death can also be a way of healing. My mom was Jewish, so she was embalmed. She was not embalmed. And so when they brought her from the refrigeration room into the viewing room, she looked just like my mom, as if she was just sleeping. No makeup, no nothing. They had her wrapped in a towel. It was there that my dad broke down and cried and said, "I did not know how much your mother was really suffering. When I see her now, her face looks relaxed and peaceful. It has been a long time since she looked like that." So we can't forget, healing is about where we are right now. And sometimes death can be that healing that we need. We all die, and we will die of something. There are conditions and illnesses that are progressive or not curable unless a miracle cure happens. Modern medicine has advanced to the point where if the people in the Bible were to witness our medicine and our advances, they would see them as miracles. Should we see them as miracles? God has given us our minds, our intellect, and our imaginations. We have God to thank for the miracles of modern medicine. So let's turn to today's gospel passage. One of the things that we must not lose sight of is that stories in the Bible are short, concise, and not overflowing with data, details, or timing. The stories in the Bible were told over and over for decades before they were written down. Pen and paper as we knew it today, post-it notes, printers and computers were not on anyone's radar. So we can read here and see the story and imagine how it took place considering the context and time. Today's scripture verse is about a man who had become paralyzed. He was crippled to the point where he could no longer walk. There are many stories in the Bible where Jesus encounters others with what seems to be serious, serious health issues, especially for the time. Blindness, paralysis, leprosy, tremendous bleeding, fever, and even death. In Jesus' day, if you were disabled or had some kind of catastrophic illness, the general thinking of the time, which was from the religious leaders of the day, would say that you were being punished for your sins. In those days, it was commonly thought that illness and disability were curses by God. People thought that just being in the presence of those who were sick or paralyzed, touching them, or even speaking to them could cause God's curse to rub off on you. I call this the cootie syndrome. When some of us were kids, we would say, "Pastor Jeff has cooties, stay away from him." No, I mean, don't go near Jeff. You could become as sick as he is. People aren't laughing, Jeff. Jeff told me to say that. This left people alone, ostracized from society, depressed, oppressed, and socioeconomically abandoned, zero self-esteem, and the feeling of being unworthy. Perhaps the real issue is, whose sin is causing all that stuff to happen? This wasn't just a physical thing, but an emotional and a psychological breaking point. The attitudes of the day were really messing people up. I'm not saying this just because we're so much better today, and I'm not going to even go there. So with this as background, let's watch the scene of the scripture passage from Franco Zeffirelli's film, Jesus of Nazareth.
Help me. I've been this way for 20 years. It is the curse of God. Punishment for my sins and for my parents' sins.
Your sins are forgiven you.
Rabbi, you must not speak so. That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins.
Which of these is easier? To say your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk home? The Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. Rise and walk home.
So the paralyzed man and his friends and family that are close enough are willing to bring this man to Jesus. They have heard of this Jesus and had faith that he could heal him. Faith Now, that could be a key factor. Without this, he would not be there. And without a mustard seed of faith, we wouldn't be sitting here either. But something amazing happens. Jesus reaches out. Jesus lets the man know that he is seen, that he is recognized as a child of God. Jesus speaks to him. Can you imagine how healing that felt to that man just in those few actions? You know, let's not take it for granted. Remember, this guy was considered not worthy. And this Jesus guy takes time just for him, showing him that he's worthy. And then Jesus says it, "Your sins are forgiven you." But no, the Pharisees say this is blasphemous. Only God can forgive sins, say the Pharisees. But what they actually mean is that God can only forgive sins through them, not Jesus. And Jesus' response? It's actually very quite brilliant. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? If Jesus just said, get up and walk, it would have fallen on deaf ears. This man had been convinced by everyone, including the Pharisees, that his illness was due him. And Jesus' words releases him. Mind, body, and soul, your sins are forgiven. And when you saw the film, did you notice what Jesus did? He does everything wrong according to the day. He reaches out and he listens to the man. He touches the man. He's kind to him. He's compassionate. He recognizes the man as one of God's own. He tells the man that his sins are forgiven. For 20 years, this man is told, it is drilled into his mind that he is under a curse from God. People avoid him like the plague. Just look at how the crowd reacts when he stands up in the movie. Whoa, cootie guy. They won't even let him touch him. So how many of us hold on to something so long and so hard that it begins to paralyze us, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually? Yet Jesus is there to release this paralyzed man. And Jesus is there to release each one of us, to set the captives free. Amen. We each may not carry the doctor or nurse card, but Jesus shows us what it takes to offer healing to others. Some of us may have the gift of healing where miracles happen and miraculous healing sets in. But we are all followers of Jesus. As Jesus' disciples, we follow and do as Jesus teaches us. And we all can do this. Reach out, listen, and touch. Now, touch doesn't necessarily mean physical touch, but touch. Touch somebody's heart. Make a connection. That doesn't take much from us. Just be there. Be with somebody. Somebody needs healing. Be present. Sometimes your presence is all that is needed. You don't need to talk. You don't need to speak. You don't need to ask questions. Just be there for that person. Show kindness and compassion as Jesus demonstrates and teaches so often. Just be Jesus. That can be healing for people. And recognize and acknowledge someone. Make sure that somebody knows that they are seen, that they're being heard. They're not invisible. They're not forgotten, that you clearly recognize them as a child of God. And take the time to be present. Jesus does. Be patient. Be kind. Be Jesus. Be that healing presence that Jesus is for each of us. A man was walking home late one foggy night, when behind him he hears bump, 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 Walking faster, he looks back, and through the fog he makes out the image of an upright casket banging its way down the middle of the street. Bump, bump, bump. Terrified, the man begins to run toward his home, the casket bouncing quickly behind him, faster and faster. Bump, 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 bump. He runs to his front door, he fumbles with his keys, opens the door, rushes in, slams and locks the door behind him, but he hears the casket crash through the door with the lid of the casket clapping. Clappity bump, clappity bump, clappity bump. On his heels, the man is terrified and he runs upstairs. He rushes up there. He hits the bathroom. He locks himself in. His heart is pounding. His head is gasping and his breath is coming in sobs. When with a loud crash, the casket breaks down the door, bumping and clapping toward him. Clappity bump, clappity bump. The man screams and reaches for something, anything, but all he can find is a bottle of cough syrup. And he's desperate, so he throws the cough syrup at the casket, and the coffin stops. It's a miracle! You have the power to perform similar miracles. Jesus shows us how. Throw everything at whatever needs healing. Reaching out, listening, kindness, compassion, connection. Take the time. Everyone here as a follower of Jesus can do this. We can all be a powerful healing presence. Now, my dad recently had a brain tumor and surgery in December last year. And he's recovering quite well. And this brought back my memories of my brain tumor from 26 years ago. Before my tumor was diagnosed, I had several things going on that were not yet tied together. I was having blackouts, I was having breathing issues, I was having hearing issues, and I was having heart rate issues. I would go to bed at night and pace my breathing as I would fall asleep. As I would stop breathing in my sleep at times, and I would drive Jeff nuts. And maybe that's how he got crazy in the head. But anyway, I would pace my breathing as I fell asleep. And I would do that every night, because inevitably I'd just stop breathing and it would wake me up. So over time, my hearing got to the point where I could not take a normal hearing test. I would hear things in my head. You know, for example, I would turn off the TV, but then I'd go back in the room thinking I was hearing that the TV was still on, and nope, it was off. What was I hearing? Just some random noise. My head was, you know, people say they hear voices in their head. Well, I was hearing voices, and I didn't know what they were. So I got my hearing tested, but they had to do an evoked response test because I could no longer just respond to a noise. So I was always hearing them in my head, so they put me in the hospital to do an evoked response test to see how my brain was responding. And of course, they found that it was responding very poorly. And so it was time for an MRI. So the doctor was convinced it was nothing. But the MRI was just a procedural thing. It was just the next thing on the list to do. So when we returned to the doctor the next week after the MRI, I asked Jeff to sit in the waiting room while I checked in. So I call him back in if it was necessary. So as I checked in, the staff went nuts. They told me they didn't have my correct phone number, and they tried calling me, thinking I would not return since the doctor told me it was most likely nothing. Well, that was meaningful, so I went to got Jeff and said, this is not going to be good. So not only did I have a tumor, but this thing was really large, sitting on my brainstem. When we returned to the car, I cried out to God, why did you do this to me? And it was the first time that I ever saw Jeff cry. When I visited with Dr. Martuzza, the brain surgeon at Georgetown, he said that I should not be able to walk into his office. And that really didn't register with me. My current doctors here in Indianapolis tell me and remind me every year I have my MRI that they've never had a patient survive a tumor the size of mine. They tell me that patients come into the ER in a coma, then die, or arrive dead on arrival in the ER. You know, by the way, my tumor was 5 centimeters. It's like the size of a tennis ball sitting on my brainstem. Okay, so this really was some kind of miracle. And on top of that, the microsurgical technique that was required to do the surgery on my brain tumor had just been approved 6 months prior to my surgery in 1993. Without that, surgery would not have been possible. And about that surgery, it was 21 and a half hours, intensive care, months off work. It was even written up in Journal of Medicine because it was so unusual, which of course I was only one of the tumor out of my head at the time. But this is only part of the healing story. When I was going through this ordeal, Jeff put together a devotional book for me for the days leading up to and after the surgery. There are even notes from the ordeal in there, but let me read a few things from here. This is that devotional book that Jeff put together for me when this was happening. And this is a devotional that was before my surgery. This is June 4th, 1993, and I'm only going to read a portion of it. One of the key spiritual lessons that each of us needs to learn is surrender. When bad things happen, when things don't go the way we planned, our natural tendency is to resist. Our resistance can take many forms. Worrying can be a form of resistance, even though it is as pointless and futile as kicking against a cement wall. Think a minute about what it is that you are worried about in connection with your surgery. Perhaps what worries you is thoughts of a time together being cut short by death. Another thing that may be worrying you is the possibility of damage to your facial nerve or the possibility of malignancy and require follow-up treatment. You must give up. Try to consciously surrender everything you have, your life, our relationship, your appearance, your health, everything, to the will of a loving God. Throw yourself on the fate of a universe governed by your God. How? Well, it's not easy. I'm certainly far from perfect in this area, but our minds are like our bodies. They require exercise and discipline. With exercise and discipline, we can make progress. If you keep running and rerunning the following thoughts through your mind, just like an exercise, it might help you achieve a deeper level of peace and acceptance. And here's that exercise. Throughout the course of my life, some difficulties, things are going to happen. That's just part of life. I demand nothing from God. Whatever God chooses to allow to come my way, both good and bad, I will accept with thanksgiving and with faith that it will work together for good. I give up. I will not struggle. Whether I live or die, and that I have in life is God's problem. So what I have in life is God's problem. Think about this. Meditate on this. Ask yourself if you really believe it. And as you do this repeatedly, I think you will gradually find deeper peace and acceptance. Surrender. That is something hard to do. But when it comes to healing, it is the surrendering that opens up the healing floodgates. What I was going through wasn't easy. It required holistic healing. What Jeff did here was amazing. It was not just the devotional. It was the daily washing and helping. He stayed with me in the hospital and caught the worst cold he ever had in my room with the air conditioner blasting. He used up all of his leave at work. Yes, Jeff is my husband. But we can do these kinds of things for others. It's not just limited to family or your spouse. Just like the friends who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus, just like Jesus does for the paralyzed man. As Jesus shows us, healing is holistic. It is about showing up. It is about bringing us to Jesus. It is about serving. It is about meeting people where they are. It's about praying. Miracles happen, but that's in God's hands. We are to be Jesus to others, and it all starts with you and me and Jesus. There'll be a few deacons and pastors up here at the altar after service today, so if you would like any special healing prayer, please come up after service and receive prayer from one of the deacons or pastors that will be here up front. So we need to surrender so we can each be whole and healed. We all need healing. And we can reach out to someone else. Be healed. Be whole. Go heal. Sozo. Therapy. EMO. In Jesus' name, amen.